later. But let's turn our attention back here to Wimbledon. I'm delighted to say we're joined on our roof garden, who can almost make a tennis court out of this. The grass is a little bit long. But Joe Bostock, who is the chief executive of the Blue Plaque Rebellion. So good afternoon to you, Joe. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, having just come off the back of the Wimbledon singles final. So rebels and trailblazers in their own right. But the rebellion is about telling the stories of the sportswomen that came before them. And it's a fabulous way of inspiring young people. If you can actually see who was in the past, you can stand on the shoulders of giants. But if you don't know who they are, you can't.
So basing on the fact that, I mean, if you walk around this great city of ours and further afield, you see blue plaques up on various buildings. There's one very close to me, actually, which is a blue plaque for where Fred Perry lived in Ealing for many, many years. We know, of course, there was such a lot of talk about him here, but there is an imbalance. There is maybe a disproportionate number of blue plaques which celebrate the sporting achievements of men and not women, Jack.
Well spotted, Phil. We know that if you were to take statues, for example, that other visible indication of sports people, there are 200 named male statues and 2 of women. So as a proportion, the maths isn't so great, and something similar around the blue plaques. So these symbols matter. They point young people to the heroes of the past. And if they know the stories of people like Lottie Dodd, they can think, well, I can pick up a racket. She won Wimbledon at 15. That's fabulous. And she went on to win it 5 times in the 1800s. So if those stories are lost in the mists of time, you think that maybe sport isn't for women and girls. And you start to think that maybe you're not allowed on that court or that rugby pitch or.
Yeah, and just as you say, these symbols, it's a spark sometimes to find out more. You see, I do it myself, maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is. You see something which is a statue or some sort of a blue plaque or something which commemorates an action or an individual, and it makes you actually go and look up a little bit more about the history. It's that first point of entry, isn't it?
Perfect. Those sparks that get people to light up. And we were luckily enough up on the roof garden a couple of days ago speaking to Billie Jean King, who referenced Althea Gibson, as does Serena Williams. These people from the past who are absolute legends, but we don't talk about them. So how do we have the plaques or the statues that go, who was that? What did they do? Could I do it? And then you can end up with a Serena Williams at the other end of that story, which is a pretty good result.
So how are you, how is your rebellion going to change this? What are you actually doing?
At the moment, we're unearthing the stories, so we're working with sports historians. This was all the idea of a woman called Anna Kessel, a Guardian journalist and author, who wrote a book called Eat, Sweat, Play. And in doing the research for that, which is all about women and girls engaging, or rather not, with sport, she discovered the dearth of stories. And she's the rebellion leader, if you like. I work for an outfit called the Women's Sport Trust, and we've teamed up to, first of all, unearth the stories, tell them, and we've produced these rather wicked plaques that we, not always with as much permission as we might necessarily need, we go and affix them to places where these wonderful women have existed. So Lottie Dodd is now on a railing somewhere, which Wimbledon might or might not know about, but they surely will now. And in putting those out, we're then going to work with national governing bodies, with English Heritage, to actually convert the rebellion end of the spectrum, here's great stories, into the more official part of it. Why wouldn't you actually formalise this? Why wouldn't you get a proper blue plaque up? So we're in the early stages, we're fermenting rebellion, and we want people to join us. If you are a teacher, if you are a historian, if you just know about somebody from the past that we should be shouting about, tell us. You can get hold of us on blueplaquerebellion.com. I feel sure we should have some sort of outfit as well, blue hair, blue something. But join the rebellion by, first of all, telling us who you know about, and then shouting about who we've uncovered. Go tweet about them, and let's get some momentum behind this.
It's just, how worrying, though, is the fact that, you know, that without figures of you know, that can be glorified from their past achievements, without knowledge of that it really does have an effect on young girls maybe being inspired to take up sport or to take up any other sort of, you know, not just sport. You mentioned Anna and the work that she's done. Mm-hmm. You know, women getting involved and being recognised for their work in the media industry, for example.
It's a really good point. It crosses over. So if you look at where it's the media industry or STEM subjects, for example, if you don't see women and girls thriving in those sectors, you don't think there's a place for you in it. So you see a lack of women in tech, for example. But as soon as you start to get those role models out there telling a positive story, then they think, actually, that's a place for me. So you saw about the phenomenal impact of the England hockey team in the Olympics. 6 million people watched them, and now we know for a fact that people like Kate Richardson-Walsh have got mini Kate Richardson-Walsh running around everywhere, and Tim Richardson-Walsh is. It's not just for girls. You see great sporting role models, and you're just inspired by their brilliance. And we think the more they're out there, the more you'll think that's a place for me. And similarly, media role models. You see Ellie Oldroyd, and you think, give me that darn microphone, I can do that too.
And Johanna Konta, although we shouldn't fixate necessarily on British representation, because obviously, you know, you've just mentioned you've come from the ladies singles final, didn't have a British competitor, unfortunately. She might have been there, but her progress over the last year, certainly to the semi-finals this year, does that have, like Andy Murray with men and maybe just encouraging British tennis, has Johanna's influence, maybe have you noticed even this year that it's had a positive effect?
Just in the pure coverage terms, again, it's hard to be inspired by something you can't see. And you and the media are brilliant at covering somebody like Johanna. And we're talking not about her looks or who she's married to or not married to. You're talking about her skill, her grit, her determination, her mental strength. And these are all qualities that it's brilliant to get out there. And again, if she's a UK-based player and you're a UK-based kid or an old person like me, you just look and think, I can associate with that. It's closer to me, and I'm excited by it.
And you mentioned sort of that sport that's going, you know, Wimbledon has equal prize funds, something which I'll be paying attention to in a couple of weeks' time, which is about Ride London, the Classique and the Classic. Mm. Again, equal prize money, being given equal status with the women's ride and the men's ride, for example. All those efforts, all those sort of elements are helping with the understanding and the recognition of women's sport as well as men's sport, putting it on an equal pairing. But there is still, as you say, some of these historical figures that are missed at the moment because we just haven't celebrated them so far.
You're talking about prize money is fantastic, but in a sense it's sort of at the end of the path. I'm more interested in the plumbing that makes a sport work, and that's brilliant media coverage, it's highly visible role models, and it's sponsorship. So you don't see people leading cricket at the moment saying it's all about equal prize money. It's not. It's about having a great league, a brilliant world championship going on at the moment. Similarly with the Euros. Yeah. Should the women be paid more? Sure. But what we really want is to have a healthy enough sport with brilliant attention, a great product that people want to watch, and the money will follow it. And brands should. Why wouldn't you want to be associated with highly entertaining sport and great role models? So let's get the plumbing right, and the prize money will come off the back of that.
And we're going to see more of your blue plaques?
Everywhere. In fact, I might fix one to the back of you if you turn around.
All right, well, I'll try and stand still for that. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. And what did you make of the final, by the way? I'll get your thoughts on that. You were in centre court watching.
Gosh, the power of it, particularly the first set, was utterly compelling. Yeah. The second set, I think there were some hearts breaking around the place. But it's just an utter privilege to see two great athletes slogging it out and not dropping an inch. So we loved it. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming to see us. Good luck with your campaign as well. And we'll look forward for those plaques. And I'll try to, if I've got one on my back, I won't take it off.
Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you.
Yes, and you, Joe. Thanks very much indeed from the Blue Plaque Rebellion. It's Saturday Sport on BBC Radio London. We're live here from Wimbledon. Just a little bit of a breeze, which is taking place, as Joe was mentioning there. Of course, we brought you the sort of winning shots, the winning games that took